Are we living through the final battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they become strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp, episode 17. And then in this episode, we're going to answer the question, are we living through the final battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan? Now, Cardinal Caffara, who was the first president of the Pontifical Institute, John Paul II Institute of Marriage and Family, said in a 2008 interview that in the early 80s, he received a letter from Sister Lucia of Fatima. Now, if you're not familiar with who that is, Sister Lucia was one of the three shepherd children who was had an apparition of Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima, Portugal. And the two shepherd children died at very young age, but Sister Lucia lived to very old age. In this letter, Sister Lucia said that the Blessed Virgin Mary revealed to her that, quote, the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Now, why would, if this is true, and I think it is, why would Satan attack the family? Well, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. The family is the building block of society. Okay, if you want to tear down a house, you start with the foundation. The family is the foundation of society. You could also argue that the family is an important foundation for the church. Okay, because without families, without husbands and wives and children, you can't build a church if you don't have any people to fill it. Okay, so whether it comes to society or the church, the family is the primary building block, or at least one of the most important. If Satan can chip away at those two, he can bring both down to their knees. Now, if it's true that this is the final battle, how's the battle been going for us? Well, I pulled some statistics from the Pew Research Institute in 2015. So let's look at some stats about Catholics in regards to the family. First statistic, 2/3 of Catholics, 68%, who are currently married were wed in the Catholic Church. Only 68%. 1/3 of Catholics who've ever been married have already experienced a divorce, 34% of them. How about cohabitation? 44% of Catholics say they have one time lived with a romantic partner. 44%. Among married Catholics, 11% are ineligible to receive the Eucharist because they've been remarried without annulment. And 1 in 5 unmarried Catholics are ineligible to receive the sacrament because they're currently living with a romantic partner. These statistics are not good. How about Catholics' views on different lifestyles for adults? 7 in 10 Catholics believe that a way in life which a husband and wife choose not to have children intentionally is as good as any other, even though that violates one of the four marks of marriage. A majority of Catholics, 55%, believe that a man and woman in a romantic relationship living together is perfectly fine. Almost half of Catholics, 46%, said that same-sex couples in a romantic relationship living together is as perfectly good as any other way of life. Now, it's true, you might say, well, what's the good news? What is true that 90% of Catholics believe that traditional natural marriage, husband and wife, with children is the best way to raise a family. Now, it sounds pretty encouraging until you read a little further. Half of Catholics, 48%, say that children being raised by parents who are living together but not married is as good as any other. 4 in 10 Catholics say the same about children being raised by gay or lesbian couples. 4 in 10, 38%, also see single parenting as good as any other situation. Guys, as you notice through these statistics, if it's true that the final battle between the Lord and Satan is over marriage and the family, we are getting our butts kicked right now quite a bit. Now, what is the cause of this disintegration of marriage and family within not only the church, but in the wider culture? Well, I think there's a lot of factors we could point to, but the most important factor, the most proximate one, is the rejection of Christian patriarchal hierarchy in the family. We have lost the concept that our religion and families are patriarchal necessarily, that the man is the spiritual head of the family and in the church. And this has been abandoned in favor of egalitarianism, that the sexes are perfectly equal, not complementary, but equal. Guys, the answer to these problems is by restoring the Christian patriarchal order within the family and within the church. Now, the best book I've read about this is this one. It's called The Three Marks of Manhood, How to Be the Priest, Prophet, and King of Your Family by G.C. Dilsaver. You guys need to run out and grab this book and read it. It's fantastic. We're going to pull from this a whole bunch this month. In this book, Dr. Dilsaver says this: today's generation of Catholic men must begin to envision a new Christendom that is not only judged and spurred on by the accomplishments of the old, but seeks to surpass them. This new Christendom will be based essentially on a Christ-centered patriarchy, the personal pursuit of sanctity, and the advancement of faith and family. Guys, the last battle between the Lord and Satan is over marriage and the family. Who is in the perfect position to fight this battle? Parish priests and Catholic husbands and fathers, or men that want to be one of the two. This is the battleground. And this month, what we're going to do in these episodes is we're going to discuss how we can start to reclaim our rightful order within the family so that we can leave our wives and children. We can be a witness to our community and the people in our parishes and help start restoring a proper ordered way of life. The way we're going to tackle this is this week we're going to look at the sacrament of matrimony in the domestic church. Let's get really down. What is matrimony and what's the church about? What's the domestic church about? Then in the next 3 weeks, using Dilsaver and a lot of the other main sources you see behind me, we're going to look at what does it mean for a man to be the priest, prophet, and king of his home. Okay. And as we examine this, we're going to look at the theoretical, the theological, and some practical advice on how to start reclaiming our rightful role within the family. It's going to be an awesome month, so let's just jump right into it. All right, let's start with understanding clearly what the sacrament of matrimony is for. Okay. Matrimony or marriage finds its source in God Himself. Okay. Now, there is a distinction in Catholic thought between natural marriage and sacramental or supernatural marriage. There's a real distinction there, but both of them come from God. So let's start with natural. Marriage, this is from Lou Godot's book, marriage was not instituted by man, but by God. Marriage is an arrangement of nature, is of divine origin. So when an atheist gets married, that marriage is of divine origin. Okay. When a Buddhist and a pantheist or whoever, when they get married, natural marriage is of the divine order because God made it, because He made Adam and Eve and put them in a marriage together. In the New Testament, Jesus elevates natural marriage to a sacramental status, okay? Marriage becomes a sacrament, which is going to infuse grace into our souls to fulfill our vows, and not only that, be a witness to the world of Christ's love for His church, okay? So Christ elevates it to a sacramental nature. Now, when a person gets married, what is the end or the goal? If you ask most people today, they say, I get married because I'm in love and I want to find self-fulfillment and things like that. That's not a Christian understanding of marriage. The end or goal of marriage, there's three ends or goals of marriage. One is primary, then there's two secondary goals. So let's start with the primary. The essential primary end of marriage is procreation and education of offspring. The number one reason why a person gets married is to make babies and educate them. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God says this, gives the command to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, when God here says be fruitful and multiply, He doesn't mean plant an orchard and do math problems. No, he means find a cute girl, marry her, make babies, and educate them and educate them well. Okay. That is the primary goal. Now there are two secondary goals in marriage. And Lou Godot puts it this way. The second end is mutual help. That's one. And the morally regulated satisfaction of sexual instinct. Okay. Let's take each one of these in turn. The second goal of marriage comes to us from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says this, let us make a suitable partner for Adam like unto himself. Fellows, men are not self-sufficient creatures, okay? when God saw the Adam, he said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. We need, as a rightful complement, women complement us well. Okay. Your wife, if you're a married man, rounds you out well. Okay. She's there for that purpose. Now, this is a men's ministry, so I'm not going to spend really any time looking at what women contribute to the domestic order and things. Those are worthwhile things to study. We're just not going to look at those here. But let me be very, very, very clear when I talk about the men's headship role. This headship, though it's true and real and good, a woman has a complementary role within that, and she has her own responsibilities and her own contribution that's irreplaceable. I don't want to miss that point. She helps, partners with her husband to raise children well. She's also there to help you become the man God wanted you to be and get to heaven. Okay, so that's the second purpose. The third purpose comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. St. Paul says, because of the temptation of immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Okay, now this is one that's left off too often, but it's an important one for married men to consider and single guys considering marriage. The fact of the matter is, God put a sexual instinct, sexual desire into us that's very strong. Okay. Now, some people are given the gift of celibacy. Those are people called to the priesthood or to the religious life. That's a beautiful thing. And if a man or woman discerns that they've been given this gift of celibacy, they should pursue it because it's better to take a vow of celibacy and give one's life completely to the Lord than it is to get married. It is better. Okay. But for many of us, if not most of us, we will not have that call or that gift. The only outlet for this natural and good sexual appetite is within marriage. And the scriptures and the church tradition is very clear that that being one of the ends or goals of marriage is perfectly morally acceptable and is part of God's plan. There's nothing wrong with a young man being motivated to get married because he wants to have sex. There's nothing wrong with that. It should not be his primary goal. Okay. That's not the primary reason why he should get married, but it is an important one. Now, as we look at the domestic church here in a second, I want to, when I talk about headship within the family, what we're primarily looking at is the primary goal, procreation, education, offspring, and the secondary goal, being a suitable partner to your wife. Your responsibility as headship is to help your children and wife become the people God wants them to be and get them into heaven. So when we're talking about headship or spiritual leadership in the church, or pardon me, the family, that's what we're talking about. Now, let's briefly look at what the domestic church is. In the domestic church, what is that? We see Jesus grew up in a family with Mary and Joseph, okay? The church itself is called the family of God. And we see early on in church history that whole families were converted to Christianity. And the catechism says that these families that became believers were islands of the Christian life in an unbelieving world. Does that sound familiar for all of us? That your family is an island of Christian belief. Also, the catechism says that when you live in a hostile culture where things are hostile to the faith, the family, okay, is the first school of the Christian life. Your children will learn to be Christians first within your family. So the family takes central role in helping to evangelize and win back not only your family and the parish, but the wider culture to Christ. So this month, we're going to look at what does it mean to have headship of your family, to lead them well so that we can restore Christendom, not only within our domestic church, not only within our local and universal church, but in the wider community as well. I'll leave you with a quote from, and this is our application for the week from Dilsaver. He says this, "A Christian patriarch serves with all his might and main the two causes of faith and family. The faith's heart is the most blessed sacrament. The family's heart is the wife and mother. A man's religious devotion is to be centered on the Eucharist, and his familial devotion is to be centered on his own wife. To love and honor, and the love and honor and devotion shown to these hearts reflects a man's overall commitment and allegiance to the twin cause of Christian patriarchy." What we're going to discuss this month is that we need to be men completely sold out to our faith, especially around the Blessed Eucharist, and our family, especially around our devotion to our wives. And as we do that, we'll start to lead our families well. Now, your challenge this month is to lead your family through Epiphany House Blessing. If you've never done this before, your priest can walk you through that, or you can very easily find instructions online. But this is a great way for you guys to publicly lead your family and consecrate them to our Lord. Look forward to this month, guys. Have a blessed week. Talk to you soon. God bless.